بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين أما بعد. Yesterday we talked about the meaning of Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, the meaning of Hamd, and we said that Hamd is more specific than Shukr, and that it is only done when the being that you do Hamd of is worthy of it, whereas Shukr is done as a retaliation. And we also said that Hamd is higher praise than madah, because madah could be fake and false, and madah could also be because of something you haven't done, whereas hamd can only be because of the perfection of the being who is praised. And we move on today, and one of the interesting topics that Ibn Kathir and others they talk about is why did Allah phrase it as Alhamdulillah when there could have been so many other phrases, not just the word Ashukurillah, but there are other phrases as well. For example, Allah could have commanded us praise Allah, Ihmadillah, or He could have said, such as later on we say, Iyyaka na'budu, we are all making dua. Why didn't Allah begin Nahmadullah? We are all praising Allah. Just like in the fourth ayah we say, Iyyaka na'budu, you alone are we worshipping. We're having a dialogue. Yet Allah begins in the third person. Alhamdulillah, all praise is due to Allah. We are not saying, we praise Allah, Nahmadullah. Nor is Allah commanding us, praise me. Rather it is Alhamdulillah. So what is the wisdom in this? If Allah Azza wa Jal were to have commanded us, praise me, Ihmadillah, Allah has commanded us to worship Him, and Allah has commanded us to praise Him in other verses. But a command is not as eloquent as a statement of fact. A command could be obeyed and it could be disobeyed. Whereas a statement of fact applies at all times, whether you do it or not. A rule is a rule, whether you follow it or not. And Allah Azza wa Jal is saying, Alhamdulillah, as a rule, without any exceptions, Hamd belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As for phrasing it as a verb, we praise Allah, Nahmadullah. Even this is not that eloquent. Why? Because a verb is always taking place at a specific time. We praise right now. We weren't praising last minute, we're not going to praise the next minute. So Nahmadullah would have meant right now we're praising Allah. But the phrase Alhamdulillah means whether you are praising or not, Hamd belongs to Allah. So if we had used it as a verb, we are praising Allah, then number one, it's finite, it's temporary. And then number two, we would be praising Allah according to our quality of praise. Whereas Allah's praise is higher than our quality. What did we say yesterday? What did the Prophet ﷺ say? Oh Allah, I cannot. What was it, the phrase? Who could remember? La uhsi thana'an alayk. I cannot praise you the way you deserve. Anta kama athnayta ala nafsik. So if we were to have said, we praise you, O Allah, then there's two negatives in this. Number one, or I should say, there's two elements that are not perfect. Number one, we are limiting the praise for a particular time and place. Right now we're praising you. We didn't praise you last minute, we're not going to praise you next minute. And the number two, we are linking the praise to our quality. And our quality will always be what? Will always be what when it comes to praising Allah? Limited. Deficient, limited. So by saying Alhamdulillah, we remove the qualifications of time and of quality. Quality and quantity are both removed. So Alhamdulillah is a statement of fact. And we said the Alif Lam, there's another phrase possible. It could have been Hamdan Lillah. Praise belongs to Allah. But no, it is Alhamdulillah. And we said very briefly, and I'm going to elaborate now, the Alif Lam here, for the advanced students of Arabic, istighraq al-jins, which means every single type of praise, alhamd, every praise that is praise belongs to Allah. If the alif lam were chopped off, the translation would be some praise belongs to Allah. But with the alif lam, alhamdulillah, the translation becomes every praise that is a true praise, it belongs to Allah. So the alif lam here is for general hamd, all of it. There is no hamd except that it belongs to Allah. Which means what? Nobody else is independently worthy of being praised. Think about it. When somebody praises you, he is not praising you except for a blessing Allah has given you. Our Qari today recited, وَإِن تَعُدُّوا نِعْمَةَ اللَّهِ لَا تُحْصُوهَا. If you attempted to count the blessings of Allah, you could not even count the list. When somebody comes and praises you, MashaAllah, that's a great house. MashaAllah, you have a nice car. MashaAllah, you have a good voice. MashaAllah, that was a great khutbah. Wallahi, my dear brothers and sisters, you have done nothing. لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله. What does that mean? It is Allah who has given you this. So when somebody comes and praises you, they are praising a blessing that Allah has given you and not something that you have done. So by saying Alhamdulillah, nobody is worthy of praise unconditionally other than Allah. Every other praise is a conditional praise, i.e. Allah has given you something that people praise you for. That's what the two letters do, Alif Lam. Just these two letters, that's what it does. That Alhamdu, every hamd that is hamd, it only belongs to one being, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now somebody can say, okay, all of this is good, but there is a phrase that our Prophet used and we begin every khutbah with it, and that is Inna Alhamdulillah. And the Quran begins with Alhamdulillah. So why didn't we begin Inna Alhamda? Because the Prophet would begin his khutbas with Inna Alhamdulillah. And even us, when we give khutbah, we always begin Inna Alhamdulillah, Nahmaduhu wa Nasta'inuhu. That's how we begin. What's the difference? So Inna is a letter that emphasizes. Verily, or indeed, all praise is due to Allah. Inna is to emphasize. And Inna is a statement of fact. And it is more appropriate at times of, if you like, seriousness, or at times of grandeur. But Alhamdulillah is a statement that could come from emotional, from the heart. There's a psychological element where Inna will give you a more formal element. And therefore, when you begin the khutbah for the formal element, it makes sense to say Inna Alhamdulillah. But for the prayer, when you are having a conversation with Allah, you want an immediate emotional attachment. That's why you say Alhamdulillah. That it's a statement of fact that every hamd belongs to Allah. Now we also said the lillah, the lam here, it means that it is exclusive ownership of Allah. To Allah belongs every hamd. Alhamdulillah, to Allah belongs every hamd. And we go back last week, what is the meaning of the name Allah? The one who is worthy of worship. So we can translate Alhamdulillah as every single ultimate praise unconditionally belongs to the one being who is worthy of being worshipped. That is actually the translation of Alhamdulillah. Every single ultimate and unconditional praise, it is exclusively owned by, it is exclusively attributed to the one being who is worthy of being worshipped. Alhamdulillah. And then Allah says, Rabbil Alameen. And the phrase Rabbil Alameen we'll talk about today and also tomorrow inshaAllah ta'ala, that out of all of the names of Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the name Rabb to begin the Quran with. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. All praise is due to Allah. Why should all praise be due to Allah? Why? Because He is Rabbul Alameen. This is why. So out of all of the names, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose the name Rabb, because Rabb is the most significant relationship between us and our Creator. And today, very briefly, we're going to talk about the three meanings of Rabb, and we're going to come back to them tomorrow as well, inshaAllah ta'ala. Number one, what does Rabb mean? Number one, Rabb means the ultimate owner, the Malik, the one who controls, Rabb. So in Arabic we say Rabbul Bayt, the owner of the house. Rabbul Sayyara, the owner of the car. So Allah is our ultimate owner. And when Allah is our owner, this implies that He is the one who brought us into existence. Because ultimate ownership can only be to the Creator. I repeat, ultimate ownership can only be to the Creator. If you think about it, you do not own anything completely. Your ownership was handed to you and it will be handed to somebody after you. You had to buy your car. You had to purchase your house. Even if you made something with your own hands, you had to get the raw material to make it. You could not bring anything into existence by yourself. When we say Allah is the Rabb, and there is nobody competing with Allah as a Rabb, this means Allah's ownership is unique and complete. He didn't have to get spare material. He did not have to transfer ownership. Ownership was His, which implies what? He created from nothing. So when you say Rabb, when Allah is the Rabb, you automatically imply that Allah is the Khaliq. Because ultimate ownership necessitates creation. Is that clear? It's a little bit deep here, but I want to be very deep in this regard. When you say Allah is the Rabb and you say He is the owner, then this means that Allah Azza wa Jal created, because ultimate ownership cannot be transferred.
And that's our ownership. It's always transferred. Anything we do, ownership is transferred. Even if you discover a well or something, you say, this is mine. You didn't make the well. You had to discover it. Even if you get raw material, you go into the car shop and you buy the car. It's the transfer of title of ownership. Every ownership that we have is conditional. Only Allah's ownership is unconditional. And if Allah's ownership is unconditional, this implies, this necessitates that Allah must have created from nothing. So He is the Rabb. The second meaning of Rabb is the one who is obeyed. The meaning of Rabb, we're talking about linguistic from the Arabic language. Rabb means the one who is obeyed. In Surah Yusuf, when the prisoners are released, Yusuf says to the prisoners, "Udhkurni 'inda Rabbik." Mention me to the guy whom you obey. He's the king. So he called the king the Rabb here because of the meanings of Rabb is the one who is obeyed. So when we say Allah is Rabbul Alameen, we are implying that Allah is obeyed. Everything that happens, it is Allah's command. And then the third meaning of Rabb is the one who takes care of, the one who nourishes, the one who sustains. And from this meaning of Rabb, we get the phrase tarbiyah. What does tarbiyah mean? To take care of, to nourish. So when we say that Allah Azza wa Jal is Rabbul Alameen, we are implying three things, and we'll repeat this tomorrow because it's very important. Number one, that Allah is the unconditional owner. Number two, that Allah Azza wa Jal is the one who is obeyed. Nothing happens except that Allah has commanded it. And number three, that Allah is the one who is taking care of. From it we get tarbiyah. In other words, your existence cannot be sustained unless the Rabb takes care of it. Without a Rabb, you cannot exist. The Rabb has to give you tarbiyah. Your physical, your spiritual, your emotional. So why is Allah worthy of praise? Alhamdulillah. Why? Because He is the Rabb. He created you from nothing. He is the one whose command is effective when He says, kun fayakun. And He is the one who takes care of you. So He is the Rabbul Alameen. Tomorrow, inshaAllah ta'ala, we'll talk about more of the meanings of Rabb and also the meaning of Alameen. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.